Take your Bible tonight, Psalms chapter 85. I'm just going to read one verse in verse 6, chapter 85, Psalms. The Bible said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I pray that the Lord would help me to convey my burden tonight. We need revival more than we've ever had. And I know this is a jubilee, and thank God for the spirit of jubilee. But we across this country in our churches need a move of God. We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost sin-killing revival in our churches. Amen. Of course, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. You probably know it by heart, but we see six things. Number one, that God has a people. He said, "If my people," I am glad tonight to be a part of the family of God. I am not ashamed to be here tonight. I am not ashamed to be a Baptist. I am not ashamed to be saved. I thank God to be a part of His family. It's the greatest thing that I've ever been a part of. I'm glad, thank God, 1972, as an 8-year-old boy, I knelt down an old-fashioned altar and got birthed into the family of God. And I'm glad to be a part of His family. As they sang a while ago, He's been so faithful and so kind and so gracious unto me. Amen. I'm glad to be a part. Can I say, number two, that God hates pride. He said, "If we would humble ourselves." Amen. Number three, God hears prayer. He said, "If we would pray." Then He said, "God has a plan." He said, "It's twofold. If we would seek His face and turn from our wicked way." That's talking about the church. There is so much carnality in our average church tonight. And I'm telling you, we need a move of God. We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost of repentance in the day that we live here. I'd like to see it as it was in the days of old. I can remember in them 70s. And early 80s, there's a move of God. And God can do that again. Amen. 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 He said that we would seek His face and turn from our wicked way. Then we see, fifthly, that God honors His promise. He said, "I will hear from heaven." Then He said, God heals and He pardons. He said He'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land is more full of violence and divided than it's ever been. We have an administration and a news media that tries to wedge the American people apart from one another. That is their goal. Our land needs to be healed. And I'm telling you, it don't matter who's in the White House. If it's an independent, a Republican, or a Democrat, revival's never going to come from there. It's going to come from God's people and the house of God through Bible preaching and Holy Ghost living. That is what will change our country. I'm telling you, Reformation will never get the job done, but regeneration will. I'm glad God can take a man and save him and change him and make a new creature out of him. And thank God, take him out of the jail cell, put a Bible under his arm, give him a gospel to preach, put him in the choir, and use him for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I want to give you three things and I'll get out of the way. Number one, the reason we need revival. You know why? First of all, it's a lack of conviction in our services. Oh, I can remember the day, Brother Arthur, when you first started as well. You could preach and boy, they'd fill up the pew or the altar. They'd come running. I mean, boy, they repent. Today, they get angry. Today, they get upset. There's no conviction in the building. I'm going to tell you something. I can't save a sinner tonight. Neither can you. I can't draw someone to get right with God. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can. And we've got to get back to where the Spirit of God is in our services. Amen. A sinner listen to me. It's all right for a child of God to enjoy the service and the preaching, but a sinner should not be able to stand at the back of the door and say, man, I enjoy being here. He ought to be disturbed. He ought to have been convicted. He ought to have been distraught. He ought to leave here and say, oh, preacher, pray for me that I don't die and go to hell. Oh, that we get back to those days where God's people would come to church full of God and conviction. I would feel the pews again. And conviction would feel our churches. Amen. Lack of conviction within ourselves. When we first got saved, when the Holy Ghost dealt with us, we'd respond. Now He has to deal with us and deal with us and deal with us. We push Him aside and we push Him aside. Can I say, not only that, a lack of conscience. Sin isn't sin anymore. Do you know, in the Southern gospel music world, it's all right to be a homosexual. Do you know that in churches they have Baptist preachers that are homosexuals? God help us. We have gotten used to it. Which before us, back in the 80s and the 90s, most of America didn't agree with it. Now they say, well, I may not be one, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. Our conscience has gotten seared to sin. Sin is filthy. Sin is dirty. Sin is ungodly. Thank God that's why Jesus had to come and to die and to take your place and my place because of our sin. He who knew no sin was made sin that you and I might be birthed into the family of God. I'm telling you, we need revival. Amen. Oh, a lack of conscience. Can I say a lack of concern for our children, our grandchildren, for our communities, our companions, our co-laborers, our country? I was listening to Oliver B. Green on YouTube about a year ago. And he preached about 1960, late 60s at Tabernacle. And he was preaching on hell. And he said, I got a phone call the other day. He said, it changed my life. You see, in those days, of course, there was no caller ID. You don't know who was calling you. And he said the phone rang. And he said he picked it up. And all he heard was a man wailing. And he said, oh! And he hung up the phone. He said he called back and he done it again. And he said, I thought surely someone was pranking me. And he said he done it the third time, the fourth time. And he said finally, about the fifth time, he got out the word granddaughter. He said he got his composure and called me back. And it was a preacher's friend whose granddaughter was her neighbor where she lived. He was burning brush. And that little girl was playing around the fire and she had fallen into the fire. And he said that God smote my heart and said, if that man can get that distraught over a grandchild falling into the fire, how come we're not distraught of the hundreds of thousands of people that die around us and die and go to a devil's hell? I want you to know there's a real hell tonight where there's real fire. And your family, your friends, my friend, your co-laborers, those around you are going to go to hell one of these days. God help us to get our concern. I think of the king of Nineveh. Remember what he did? He took off his royal apparel, put on sackcloth and ashes. Brother Joe, he didn't know God like we do. And he said, maybe God would have mercy on us. He said, take the violence out of your hands and put away. And he told everybody to put on sackcloth and ashes. And he said, maybe God would show mercy. Can I say tonight that God could show mercy tonight to this country? Oh, I'm glad that there's still hope. I've heard people say, oh, God will never send revival. I tell you, if we'll do what we're supposed to, He will. I'm telling you, He can. God is still able. He's still on the throne. He has the same power as He always has. If we will do our part, He will do His part. Oh, that we see God do it one more time. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, a lack of consistency. That's why we need revival. Brother Gravely said when we first did that first shutdown, everybody did, in 2020, we started coming back. He said we need AAA in the church. He said, well, we need to get our attendance back. We need to get back on the altar and start saying amen, amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's so quiet in the churches. I'm sure you're experiencing that. Brother Tim and others that travel, it is so quiet across the land. And people, they lay out, God help us tonight, the lack of consistency. What's wrong with just being full of God and loving God and going to church and let God be first in your life? Thank God for you young people. Right now you're fired up and singing and loving Jesus. Keep on that track. Hallelujah. Can I say, I'm glad, hallelujah, that as a young man, I gave my heart to God, and I have no regrets. I'm glad if I had to do it over, I'd do it over again. I say, thank God, it's good to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. No sad songs to sing. And I say, number two, what revolves around revival? Humility does. 28 years on the road, 35 years of preaching. The number one enemy of revival is us. We're not willing to say, I need to get right with God. I don't have my burden. I've let things come in my life. I'm not what I used to be. I've lost the zeal. I remember years ago, Brother Arthur, I was waiting to preach, and it was probably about 96 or 97. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I have lost the realness of this thing. I'm still reading. I'm still praying. I'm still studying. But I said, it's not as real with me as it used to be. And I said, would you help me? And that sweet little voice said, I will. I'll help you. You know what? If we'd be honest with God tonight, I'm telling you, He'll work in our life. If we'd just flat be honest with Him. Amen. Humility. Just say, Lord, that's not my brother. That's not my sister. That's me, oh Lord. I've lost my burden. I don't have the desire that I used to have. I need you to help me. Do something for me. If nobody else wants it, do it for me. Amen. If we'd have that attitude, we'd see revival. Amen. Not only humility, but holiness. We got to get past the do's and the don'ts. It's about holiness and godliness influence in our life. I'm not for a legalistic crowd. I'm not for Phariseeism, if you want to call it that. But I am for holiness. God is a holy God. I was preaching years ago in a camp meeting way back. I pastored a year in Texas. And I went to this camp meeting. And the fellow leading this thing and had hair way past his shoulders. And he said this out loud. I think we've missed the holiness in this generation. I couldn't help myself. I said, you got that right, brother. Amen. How to get him a haircut leading us singing for a camp meeting. Amen. Amen. Holiness. 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 There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to be a Pharisee, but you can try to live holy and righteous unto the Lord. I'll be honest with you. If we don't get back to it, we're not going to have revival. Amen. Can I say there's got to be hunger that revolves around revival? I told the preacher, my pastor, Brother Gravely, when we shut down for those 6 or 8 weeks. But Joe, I was hoping when I started going back on the road that it created a hunger. But it didn't. You're right. It did not create a hunger in God's people. Instead, I preach in some churches, they still have 15-20% have never come back. Now, is that not crazy? When's the last time that we got so hungry Brother Joe Williams was my pastor, and I remember coming up in the late 70s and early 80s. We'd have an all-night prayer meeting on Friday, but not because revival was coming, just because we would pray that we needed a God to move in. And you know what? A Saturday night prayer meeting at the church is probably the most least attended function in the house of God. I'm not trying to damper anything. I'm just telling you where we're at. I'm just telling you where we're at. We need a hunger. I told Brother Jim today. Brother Jim said, boy, keep on preaching. And I said, brother, there's a burden back down inside of me for this country. Oh, that God would do something in the day that we live in. I can remember the days of old, and I can remember how that God moved and how the 30 people get saved in one service. I'm telling you, God can still do that if we'd obey Him, if we'd just be obedient unto Him, and we'd listen to the Holy Ghost, and we'd respond to Him. Amen. Amen. Number three, and I'm done. The requirement. Who requires revival? Can I say the complainer does? If you're a constant complainer, you need revival. I'm just being honest. Brother Steve Griffith was my pastor in the late 90s. His brother Jeff, his brother Chuck. We went over with Brother Humberto Gomez and built a church in Mexico. We spent 8 days over there. The little dogs that you'd see running around, you could see their ribs. The little pig that they were fattening up to eat, you could still see his ribs. They were so poor. When I got home, I said, dear Lord, I'm so sorry for everything I've ever complained about. We've got it so good, and we don't even know it. We've been so blessed. Oh, we go to a restaurant, eat what we want, leave half of it if we want to. I'm telling you, God has been so good. If you're a constant complainer, you need to get on this altar tonight. Ask God to forgive you. He said, I hate murmuring and complaining. You can read Psalm 78. That whole chapter is dealing with God's anger. He said, they provoke me to anger because of their murmuring and complaining. The complainer needs revival. The complacent needs revival. Sometimes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe sometimes people aren't really going backwards. But they're not going forwards either. They've been where they're at for a long time. They haven't moved anywhere. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be complacent. I want to keep moving forward. I want to get closer to Him, praise God. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. Hallelujah. Can I say thirdly, the critical need revival. Critical about everybody. You know, sometimes we've all done it. You've prejudged somebody. You prejudge a situation that you really don't know what's going on. I used to preach for a man. And his type fella, he'd go into a church and preach against everything he saw. I said, you know what the problem is with that? You don't know the situation. They may have been asking that person to come for 20 years. And they come that Sunday and you don't like their hair or you don't like the way they're dressed. And you preach against that. Here's what he said to me. Here's what he said. He said, well, that's what Jesus did. I said, I got news for you. You're not Jesus. I said, Jesus knew their heart. He knew what was on the inside. I said, you don't. You can't do that. You got to let God do the work. Hey, you just take that King James Bible and preach what God tell you to and let the Holy Ghost do the work. I can do it, but thank God He can. Amen. Yes, He can. Critical. Always trying to correct. When young evangelists come to me, they say, do you have any advice? Two things? Yeah. I guess that's three things. But I say, number one, you need to learn how to pray. Number two, don't go in there and say, well, if I was pastoring here, I said, because you know what? You're not pastoring there. None of your business how things are going. You just preach what God tells you to preach. And then number three, don't be stupid. Amen. That's a good one. I'll add that to it. All right. Can I say, the cold need revival. Those mechanical just going through the motions. I'm glad that you're here tonight. But I wonder who's just going through the motions. I'm afraid as we're going further along in this Laodicean church age that there's more lost people comfortable in our churches. More Christians have become cold. Can I say, lastly, the callous need revival. There are those who used to get excited. There are those who used to testify. Those who used to have tears run down their cheeks when they heard Amazing Grace. I'm sure you would remember, but my dad passed away about a year ago. But you know what? If Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, out of three services, Dad's going to testify twice every week. At least twice. But he would get as happy when somebody else testified. He just loved it. Brother, go for it. He just loved church. My dad was an old drunk. He had been in prison. His life was a mess. And God saved him and changed him. He never got over it. Hallelujah. All those years later. Amen. He said to me, the only song I want you to sing at my funeral, I'm going to die on the battlefield. You know what he did? He died on the battlefield. I had no idea where this was going to take us. And they took us right to the battlefield of Chickamauga on the way to the graveyard to bury him. You know what? We've gotten calloused. I don't want to lose my tears. I've got a brother that's schizophrenic. He lives in a group home in Bishopville, South Carolina. He used to live with my dad and lived two doors down from me. And Terry would sit and rock. He did that all day. Smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. And there's days I'd drive by and it would grip my heart that he's going to hell. It would grip my heart that my brother's lost. And then there's days, but Jason, I'd drive by and I'd just wave at him. It wouldn't bother me as much. You see, we get callous sometimes that those we love and those around us are perishing. I've got a neighbor. I just finally got to meet him 2 weeks ago. Pray for him. His name is Rusty. I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, I don't really know about all of that. He said, I have so many different denominations in my family. I'm confused. I said, would you let me take you someday to uptown and get a soda and we can sit and talk about it? He said, yeah. So you pray. I want to have a burden for my neighbors. I write to every new neighbor that I find out their name. I write their name down. Pray for them every morning and every night. Because they're going to hell. I've got a brother already in hell. I don't want another one. I got another brother named William that needs the Lord. Are you listening to me? I don't want to get callous. I've got family. You've got family. We need revival tonight. We need a burden tonight. We need to get back to where we used to be. Where we packed out the pews full of sinners. And we were excited. Invitation time coming. We knew somebody was going to come down and get saved. In those days, they didn't have minivans. They had good old station wagons. They'd pack them out. Brother Joe Williams was meaner than a junkyard dog. But you know what? We'd still run 350 because he preached the Word of God with love and people would come and we'd go drag them old sinners to church. I know COVID's a little different, but I'm telling you, we still reach sinners. We can still go after them, hallelujah. Wilt thou not revive us again? I want to see God do it one more time. I know He can. Thank you, preacher.